It's so important as believers for us to practice discernment in our consumption and our participation in those areas where our culture pushes the envelope, particularly in impurity. Pastor Tim challenges us today. Walk in the Spirit.
Let me ask you this question. Are you into doing the works of the flesh, or do you have the fruit of the Spirit? We're talking about this whole series. Jesus pointed out in Matthew that the tree is known by its fruit. Jesus pointed this out, that a tree is known by its fruit. When people see you or around you, what fruit do they see, or what do they know about you, or do they see some of the works of the flesh, maybe? One of them is something that God does, which is a fruit of the Spirit, and one of them is what we do, which is the works of the flesh. And I hope this week that you've been listening, you've been, each week that we've been going over the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh, that you are really beginning to see the contrast in the two, is that that you want to have the fruit of the Spirit flowing from you, and that you can bless others in your life. You know, that is my prayer. That is my prayer, that all of us desire to be known as the people who have love flow over them, and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That is my prayer for me, that my wife and my children see that out of me, my church that I gather together sees that out of me, and also as important as the people I come in contact with, is they can leave my presence feeling a better about themselves. They leave my presence maybe knowing that there's a need for a Savior, right? That when they leave me, they say, wow, what does he have? What's going on there that there seems to be such a peace within this person? You know, there's no law against such things, that we can have these things. There's not this law that we can line up and say, if I do step 1, 2, 3, and 4, then I'm going to have love. I'm going to have joy. I'm going to have patience, because that's nothing but a sinking sand. But in other words, it's not trying harder, as I keep saying every week, but it's about surrendering. As I say every week, at the beginning, at the intro of every one of these, it's about surrender. It's not about trying harder. It's about surrender. It's about surrender to Jesus Christ. But when we do surrender, here's some thoughts on that. You know, when we first begin to experience the Holy Spirit leading us to Jesus, we had to surrender, right, to be saved. Amen? We had to surrender to be saved. And these moments when that sanctification begins to happen and we're walking in a sanctifying grace, we have to continue to surrender. We have to continue when the Lord begins to put things in our heart and in our mind, because it don't happen all at one time, this sanctifying grace. I believe there's entire sanctification, and I believe in a moment's time that the Lord can sanctify us, but he's continually, as we preached last week, these impurities in our life, he continually wants to get them out of us. So when we continue to surrender, things begin to come to the forefront and says right there, we have to get it out. Surrender is a part of who we are in Jesus Christ. We have to surrender to the ones around us. You know, if you find yourself in chaos all the time, it's the fact is you're probably not surrendering. You know, it's one of those things I'm not going to stay long on here, is that we have difficulties with individuals, difficulties with different people. It's because we're not willing to surrender and say, you know, in the long run, it doesn't really matter. You know, in marriage counseling, I have what I call a 98-2. I say 98% of things that we fuss about, argue about, will not matter next week. Most of them don't even matter the next day. I love it. I'll ask a couple, I says, what did you fuss about last week? I don't know. I just know we were fussing. And I call it the 98-2. 98% of the time, we don't have a clue what we fussed about last week. But that the 2% is things that is nailed down deep in our spirit that we know about that God wants to help. And I always tell them this, it's amazing that probably the 98% is what causes more to divorce than the 2%. Isn't it interesting how fragile we are? Isn't it interesting how just fragile we are? So today I want us to talk about once again, the fruit of the Spirit that comes from the Holy Spirit through us, and works of the flesh, that's something that we do. So Galatians chapter 5. Once again, we're headed back there. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 16, and then we'll go in verse 19 that's up on the screen. It says, "Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit," listen, "you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious." In other words, I like to stop there. It's obvious. As Christians that's been Christians very long, now someone that just got saved, sometimes it's not so obvious. Sometimes they're working those things out, and God's working those things out of us. But for us that have been saved, for us that have walked with Him, supposed to have walked with the Lord for years, it should come to us at no surprise what these are. It should be no surprise whatsoever. Now the works of flesh are obvious: fornication, impureness, licentiousness. I learned how to say it. So proud. Adultery. I need to learn how to say that. Sorcery. Enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, and factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing. I can't wait to preach on that one. But some carousers. And things like these. I am warning you. As I have warned you before, I said last week, I am warning you again. As I've already warned you. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, has surrendered those passions and desires, been crucified. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, and envying one another. And that's a good scripture. Fruits of the Spirit. Here's the thing here, and I preached a little bit on this last year a little bit, but this word licentiousness that we're going to talk about, we're going to get to it. Have you ever said these things? I don't care what people think about me. Ever said it? Say amen if you have. Amen. Almost every one of us have. And some of you said amen that probably never had said that. But you just go along with the crowd. It's a joke. You can laugh. I don't care what people think about me. I've said it. Said it for years. We say it often. Well, I don't care what people think about me. I'm going to do what I want to do. And if they have a problem with it, that's their problem. Ever see the attitude? We've all thrown that attitude around, haven't we? I don't care what people think of me. You know, I used to say it for years until the Lord really convicted my heart a few years ago. You know, as a Christian, I must care about what people think of me. I must care about that. I really do have to take care of that. I will be known for fruit or works. When we have no regard of what people think, even if it's about spiritual things, we have gone off the tracks. When we come to the place that we have that spirit within us, when we say those things, I don't care what people think. Because it comes rooted in a spirit of pride, in a spirit, you know, that we're our own person. Listen. I don't allow what others think of me to necessarily to dictate my actions. But I sure can gain wisdom from what other people think. What's the difference in that? I don't allow what people think of me to dictate my actions, but I surely can gain wisdom from what other people think of me. Listen here, I would not be able to get out of bed. They would have to lock me up in a psychiatric ward if I took in the heart what people have said through the years about me. I couldn't even, they would have to drug me up if I allowed what people have said throughout the years to dictate what I do. Going all the way back when I was called to preach, and a Christian lady says, "Are you sure?" and questioned it. Remember, I said, I just hit her right in the face. And in those moments, we can do the works of the flesh or have the fruit of the Spirit come out. We have to know who we are in Him. That's the beautiful thing about it. If someone if your faith is so simply just stolen away, I always have saying that. You didn't have much faith to start off with. And so what I'm saying today is that we must care what people think. And so here's this word, licentiousness, which basically says that we do things without any regard of what people think. In other words, it is an unbridled lust. It's often compared in the sentence of sexual immorality. But it's that unbridled lust. Here's another difference. It's that uncontrollable of the tongue. It's being ready for any pleasure whatsoever. Licentiousness. It just sounds ugly, doesn't it? It's ready for any pleasure. Means no restraint. You know the story of the prodigal son or the loving father? You know, like I have to say, it's not really the story of the prodigal son. It's more about the loving father. It's kind of like his son when he went off. He was ready for anything. He lived a licentiousness lifestyle. But he was ready for anything. It's one of those things that, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, I'll try it. I got it. I'll do it. I'll try it. You might think, well, I don't do all those things. He left his family and just went crazy, the prodigal son. Here's the thing. We set our sights on things, on something, and we show no restraint until we get it. Remember, Paul's talking to Christians here. It's that we set our sights on something and we show no restraint until we have what we want. It doesn't matter the hurt. It doesn't matter the pain that we cause. We want that position at work. It doesn't matter who we step on. It doesn't matter how much pain that we show someone. It doesn't matter how much disrespect that causes to get to the position that we want. We climb over people. Are we ready for a new drug? I'm ready for the next new the toy that we want to buy to enjoy. We have no restraint. It's a spirit of unrest. It's always desiring. It's never satisfied. Never satisfied. It's always something else. We got to have some other something. We got to have that next new thing. It's that unbridledness in us that wants us to move on with something. No rest at all. No rest. And when we have this type of spirit within us, important things go lacking. We forsake our family. We do. We forsake our family. When daddy or mama is trying to climb the ladder at work, whatever you're in, is your work extra hours and your family begins to suffer because there's no restraint there? None? Financial responsibility? There's not any? Serving others? Is when we have this work of the flesh, this licentiousness, because we're so caught up in our own selves and what we want and what we desire. Whatever that is for you, you have to fill in the blank there. Is that it's like I've had people say, I'm so busy that I don't have the time for whatever. I'm so busy, I can't get to where I, you know, that I can serve in the church the way I want to because I'm so busy. A lot of times it's just an excuse to not do anything. We do not yield. We do not serve. We don't give of our time. We don't give of our gifts that the Lord has given us, of our money within to the church body where we can continue to touch this community for the Lord. We just basically don't surrender anymore. We surrender to our own lust. That's what this word means. We're surrendering to our own lust of whatever that is. You might say, Tim, I'm not that bad. And if you say those words to yourself, then you're that bad. Then you're that bad. Because we want to justify our actions. All of this leads to chaos in our lives, in our families, or at work. There's so much unrest that we have desires for these things. And it causes unrest within us. When unrest is within us, it makes everyone around us very restless. Around us. We don't leave people feeling at rest. We leave them like this. Paul said it better this way. That's not the way we learn Christ. That's not the way. That's not the way. Chaos comes. But by contrast, listen to this. I like this. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit today is peace. Amen. A beautiful word in the whole Bible. Peace. Jesus said it this way in John 14:27. And I love it. Peace I leave with you. I love it. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Isn't that a good verse? Isn't that good? We just talked about this licentious way of living. And then here, the fruit of the Spirit is about peace. And Jesus says, peace I leave with you. In the context of that scripture, he's talking about the Holy Spirit coming and being our comforter, being the one that's going to convict us of sin, and the one that will lead us and direct us and live within us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, you hear me say it every Sunday, shalom. Which is a beautiful, wonderful word. It means that there's the correct O-R-D-E-R. Order in our lives. It means that there's order. This other lifestyle, remember, unrest, everything going on, shalom. Order. Perfect order in our lives. Perfect order in our lives. And Jesus says, I can give you that in your life. I can give you that. It only comes from Him that we have this in our lives. You should show no restraint or that unbridled lust, that uncontrollable tongue. Ready? Shalom. Shalom. Order. And it only comes through our relationship with Jesus Christ. I love the ones that got baptized. Their lives, as mine was at one time, was unbridled. But when Jesus spoke life into me, He spoke peace into me. He spoke peace. Where my heart was troubled, where I was going after so many different things in an unbridled way. When I was out of control. Out of control. He spoke peace into my heart and life. He spoke peace. Listen, it's just not just freedom from trouble. But it's our lives are in the hands of God. Remember how last week I said, It's not the absence of the works of the flesh that makes us holy and righteous. Not at all. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit from Jesus Christ that makes us righteous and holy. And with that relationship, within us, guess what? Righteousness. Justified. And we can live a life that He's called us to live. That He calls us to live. It's about surrender in. About surrender. Do you desire peace in your family? Paul also says this right in Romans chapter 12, around 17. He says these words, and I use a lot in counseling. As far as it depends, this is in Romans chapter 12, around 17. Sorry, 17 or 18. That's what it says. As far as it depends on me, live at peace with everyone. Live at, with shalom with everyone. Live in a perfect order. Live in order with everyone. As far as it depends on me. Now, does that mean that there's not going to be, that there's always going to be peace out here? And one of the things I do, I say all the time to people, I can't control what you do, but I definitely control what I do through the power of the Holy Spirit working through me. That I can live at peace with you, even if you're coming at me with both barrels. The world don't understand that. And you know what the sad part is? Most Christians don't understand that. That we can live at peace. When somebody's coming at us with both barrels wide open, unrestrained, I mean, and just pouring it on, as far as it depends on me, the Word of God says, you live at peace. And if we react where they are acting, do you think we're ever going to win anybody to the Lord? Do you think the reputation of Christianity, the reputation of Jesus, just got a little bit worse because of our actions, or our reactions? Do you think? I think so. Because He don't want us to fall back into that fault and that licentiousness. People will know you by your fruit. They will. They will know you by the fruit that you have. They will know you by the absence of the fruit. Hear me? They will know you. You want to live at peace in your home, at work? And I always say this in the grocery store. Boy, have you ever seen me just right out just in a store? You go on a Black Friday, which I don't. You know, you got to be crazy. You got to be licentiousness to go to Black Friday. We're watching on TV, you know, they're rushing in Walmart. And there, one's got one side of the TV, the other got the other side of the TV, and they're going at it. And all of a sudden you see someone flying over the ropes, you know, boom, and run off with it. I was going somewhere with that. I'm not sure where it was going. They will know you by your fruits. That unbridled tongue, those reactions, in the public sphere of your life and of my life. There's moments that we can speak shalom into a situation, but we choose not to. Lord, help us as Christian people, as His children, His followers. As we go through the series each week, that we'll know the fruit of the Spirit comes from the Holy Spirit moving through us. But when we're living in peace in ourselves, hopefully our family will be at peace. That we have the freedom to serve. We're made responsible at our decisions. Because we're resting. Remember? Not a restful spirit, unrest. But when I have peace, my goodness, I'm so restful. I'm still resting. Why? Because I'm not seeking after the next big thing. I'm not living a life that has no boundaries. I'm just at peace. I'm at peace. I have that order in my life that only God can give. Even from the very beginning of creation, He spoke order and created. It's who He is. It's who He is. And that's the way, that's who He wants us to be. I'll say this, even in spiritual matters, my Lord, even those moments that we want to make our point and argue our point, I've been there. That doesn't sow peace. It sows division. So today, you see the contrast? Say me if you do. I see the contrast. And as a Christian, which one do you choose again? I pray that you'll choose peace. This week you will be tested. This week you will be in a store somewhere. For me, someone might be going real slow in front of me. I'm driving. You might arrive home and your spouse is very upset about something. I choose peace. But Sam, that's hard. I never said it was easy. But I will say this. It's very possible. And it's improbable because Jesus says it is. And that's what, where we have to live. That's what we have to live. We understand.
Practicing discernment is so important in these days where advertising, marketing, entertainment continues to push an agenda and push an impurity into our lives. We pray and we hope that as you walk into this week, that you will make the conscious choice, the conscious decision to bear the fruit of the Spirit rather than walking according to the flesh. Have a great week. God bless you.